in Orlando, a 48-year-old man was shot to death by his wife. The reason? They were fighting over the remote control. In California, recently, all of these. In California, a man was stabbed to death by his girlfriend. The reason? He brought her home a ham biscuit when she told him she wanted an egg McMuffin. Now, if that happened all the time, some of you guys would be in a lot of trouble because we always bring the wrong thing home from the grocery store. Dallas, 37-year-old man, beaten to death by his roommate over a fight over the thermostat. What's up with this? We live in a fighting society. We live in a conflict-heavy society. The smallest little thing will tick you off, and you go off on somebody. Well, that's bad. It's bad to be in a world like that. But what's worse is when you're in a church that's full of fighters and gripers, and the least little thing goes, and they're going off. I'm here to say, listen to me, I thank God for Beulah and the harmony that we have had at Beulah, my 8 years here. But fighting among Christians is always wrong. Fighting among Christians, I don't care what it's over, is always sinful. So we come to Acts chapter 15, and literally that's what we see. A fight, a fuss. A conflict. And it's not pretty. That's what I love about the inspiration of Scripture. They don't try to whitewash it. They just say, you know what, here's what happened so that we can learn and we can benefit. You're in Acts 15, Acts chapter 12, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and he took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So John Mark was Barnabas's cousin. John Mark grew up in a home that was instrumental in the New Testament church. They had prayer meetings all the time in John Mark's house. You remember the prayer meeting we saw just a few chapters ago where they were praying for Peter to be released? Well, it was in John Mark's home where they were having the prayer meeting where Rhoda went and answered the door and wouldn't let Peter in. That was in John Mark's house. So he grew up in the ministry, very involved in the church. Well, obviously, they saw something special about John Mark, and Paul and Barnabas said, let's take him on our missionary journey, so they take him. John 13, verse 13, now Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they come to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, notice that word, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. That word returned, it's a nice word. He deserted them. He abandoned them. This same Greek word a couple times in the New Testament is used as abandoning the faith. So it was a difficult time. They were going into a region that was filled with robbers. John Mark was the young gun. He was the newbie, if you will. So he was probably having to do a lot of carrying. Some Bible scholars say he might have been sick. Other Bible scholars say he might have been homesick. For whatever reason, he abandons them in their time of need. And Paul kind of took it personal. And there is conflict between Paul and Barnabas. And this morning, I want you to learn three truths about conflicts of life. Sermon's entitled, The Condemnation of Conflict. First truth I want you to see there on your outline, the reality of conflict. Notice verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do or how they're doing. Verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So too many times in life, we minimize, we justify, we rationalize conflict. Understand, conflict happens. If you have a pulse, there are going to be things that rub you the wrong way, and there is conflict. It's Conflict between Satan and God. Conflict between Cain and Abel. Conflict, you remember, between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. Conflict between Moses and Miriam. There's a conflict between David and Saul. Conflict between David and Absalom. Conflict between Elijah and Ahab. Conflict between Elisha and those mockers. Remember, they're making fun of his baldness, and the she-bear came up and ate all this. Conflict. Conflict between the disciples. Remember, they argued big time. Conflict between the Pharisees and Jesus. Conflict between Paul and Peter, few verses prior. And here in Acts 15, there is conflict between Paul and Barnabas. Conflict happens. And although it's wrong, and although we should be Christ-like in our conflict, understand, conflict happens. This week I was visiting someone, and usually when the pastor's there, everybody's on best behavior. And I witnessed a little tangle. I mean, the husband and wife kind of got into it. So I'm there trying to give them Jesus and encourage them through this journey, and there's a little kind of tiff going on. And I was kind of refereeing. Hey, here's what I'm saying. Conflict happens. Now, here's a second thought. Conflict happens between saved folk. It does. Paul and Barnabas are both Christians. Paul and Barnabas are both mature Christians. And even though they were Christians, and even though they were mature Christians, they still had conflict. They were both committed to doing God's will. They were both willing to endure prison and beatings and being stoned and being shipwrecked. They endured a lot for Jesus. And they still had conflict. Hold on a second. They had just come from the Jerusalem Council. They had just been defending the faith. They were like-minded theologically. So it's not like they were in one camp and the other was in another camp. No. They were in the same camp. And they still had conflict. Conflict happens. Conflict happens to saved folk. Conflict happens to serving folk. Paul and Barnabas had a long history of working together. This is not just two people they threw together here at the last minute and they had a personality conflict. They had been serving Jesus together for quite some time. And they had conflict. A couple thoughts and I'll move on. One's strengths many times are areas of conflicts. And this was true with Paul. Paul would endure anything for Jesus. So shipwrecked, he wasn't quitting. Stoned, he would get up and go back into town the same way. They forbid him to preach. His strength was his tenacity toward not giving up for Jesus. But a lot of times, don't miss this, our strength can become our weakness. And what was Paul's strength also was his weakness in that he could not tolerate somebody that was a quitter. I mean, if there was anything that just rubbed him the wrong way, if there was anything that was going to light his fire and push him over the edge, it was his strength. And when someone didn't abide by his strength, Barnabas' strength was his ability to lift up the fallen. Man, he did that with Paul. When nobody would let Paul join the Jerusalem church, Barnabas went and got Paul and said, no. Hey, he's real deal. He's genuine. Let him join the church. Barnabas got Paul his first job. When nobody really trusted him, he says, I'm going to go leave the Antioch church. I'm going to go to Tarsus, and I'm going to get Paul, and I'm going to bring it because they need his teaching. Barnabas' strength was he helped out those in need. His weakness? Sometimes he went a little bit too far. Sometimes when people needed a rebuke, he would try to help them again. Now here's my point. a lot of times our strengths can also open us up to our weakness. That was this situation. Now this, and I'll move on. You must keep your eyes on Jesus and not on people. And here's the reason I say it. This was a tiff. This was a fuss. This was a fight. If you were close to Paul, if you were close to Barnabas, you would see they're not perfect. And if your eyes were on people, you would get discouraged and you might throw in the towel. And that is true with Neil Jackson. That is true with any of our deacons. That is true with any future pastor we'll have or any previous pastor we had. If you put your eyes on people, you're going to be let down every single time. You spend 24/7 with me, you're going to see there's some things that get under my skin, and there's sometimes I might just kind of speak up when I need to shut up. Hey, keep your eyes on Jesus, because people will always let you down. Mother in Darlington, Maryland, her name was Edith. She walked up, she has 8 kids. She walked up into her house, came in the front door. She had been visiting with a neighbor, and she saw her 5 youngest children had something that they were all gathered around. So she walks up, and to her amazement, it's 3 skunks inside her house, and all of her children are circled around these 3 skunks. The mom flies off into a handle and starts screaming, "Get out of here! Get out of here! Get out of here!" The children pick up the skunk and they get out of there. And you know what happens? It was a smelly mess. Here's my point. When you fly off into a rage, when you start screaming and yelling, it's going to only make matters stink. So you should always reflect Jesus, even in awful circumstances. Number one, conflict happens. The reality of conflict. Number two, the reproach of conflict. Now look at verse 37 again. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who had departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So I can almost hear Barnabas saying, "Hey, Paul, we're getting ready for that missionary journey, and I know John Mark messed up, but I want to give John Mark one other chance." Paul says, "Barnabas, I don't care that he's your cousin. The boy's a quitter, and I can't handle quitters. I'm not taking John Mark." And Barnabas kind of bows up on Paul. "Paul, what would have been if that would have been me and you? When nobody wanted anything to you, I came to you, Paul, and I gave you another chance. Why won't you give John Mark another chance?" And Paul kind of bows up. He says, "Hey, don't bring me into this. This has nothing to do with me. I didn't deny Jesus. I never accepted Jesus when I did that. No. Don't be. And besides that, Jesus himself said, 'He that putteth his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God.'" And Barnabas says, whoa, "Don't bring scripture in on me, Paul. I said I want my cousin John Mark to go." And Paul bows up and says, no, "I don't care if he is your cousin. He's not going." And Barnabas says, "He is going." And Paul says, "No, he's not going." And some of you say, no, preacher, you're making that up. Look at the next verse. "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus." That word contention, it's a beautiful word. It means strong emotion expressed. In North Carolina vernacular, they were in their face. They were eyeball to eyeball. They were very vocal and they were very passionate. Conflict. Listen, anytime you are out of control, it's bad. Anytime you are yelling, anytime that you are, listen to this, anytime that you are unchristlike in how you handle any situation, you're sinning. And let me show you a couple of verses. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing when Christians, brothers, can get along. And hold on a second, if that's true, the opposite is also true. If it's good and pleasant for brothers to dwell together in unity, it's bad and it's unpleasant for brothers to dwell together in disunity and in disharmony. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Notice what it says. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you perfectly join together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How can there be no divisions among us between church folk, between family folk, between married folk, between brothers and sister folk, if you will? How can we do that? Look at the verse. Being perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. But it's coming together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Anytime you fight, it's because you're not getting your way. You bow up because I thought this, or I wanted this, or I didn't get this, and you bow up. If it's not about you, it's all about Jesus. You're only going to bow up if Jesus is being mistreated and not if you're being mistreated. British Admiral Lord Nelson came on the deck of a ship and he saw two of his soldiers fighting. He went over there and he got into their face. Young men! And he turned them around toward the enemy battleship across the ocean. Young men, that is the enemy, not that. And I come to church folk. There's no reason ever for church folk to be fighting. Period. Never, 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 never. That's right. Amen. And there's never a reason for church folk to be fighting. How many say amen?
Amen.
Listen, and there's never a reason for married folk to be fighting either. And some of you just said, oh me. Disagreements, yeah. See things differently, yeah. Act Christ-like, absolutely. The reproach of conflict. Thirdly, I'm done. The remedy for conflict. How do we all just get along? Verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So let me give you four ways that we can all get along. Number one, be submissive. Be submissive. Now, I hate it when someone, my kids or someone, uses my words against me. You know, some of these news shows, the reporter will ask this person the question, get them to answer it, and then they will show a clip of what they said. Oh, gotcha. Well, this is what you said in 1932. Why are you saying something different now? I don't want to mistreat Paul, but listen to what he said. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Nothing. I'm not throwing rocks at Paul and Barnabas. I'm throwing rocks at Neil Jackson and, if the shoe fits, you. Let nothing be done through anger and fussing and fighting and feuding. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. So if you practice that in your marriage, your marriage would be a lot better. And that one person who can pull your chain at work, if you would practice that verse, your job would be a lot better. And communications around church, would be a lot better if everyone would practice this in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem the other better. Himself be a whole lot better. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Why do we fight? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill, ye die, desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. So the reason you fight with whoever you fight with is because you're selfish. And the less selfish you are, the less fighting you will do. You say, but I won't get my way. That's fine. Let God take care of it. But he'll win. That's fine. God has settled the score. Let him take care of it. But we'll be eating at that nasty Waffle House 3 meals a day, and I hate Waffle House. I love the Waffle House. Let him win. Let God take care of it. I'm telling you, you would fight less if you would be more submissive, not to that mate or to that employer, but to God. Number one, stay submissive. Number two, stay supportive. This is huge. They're going to put the verse on the screen. When you have a disagreement, when you have a conflict, when you have a tangle, if you will, don't go run all over town trashing that person. Don't go and say, oh, you're not going to believe what a male chauvinist pig this person is. I mean, he's just a grunt. He's just a jerk. He's just a... They had a conflict. Paul goes where he goes. Barnabas goes where he goes. They're strengthening the churches. They're not trashing each other. Paul says of John Mark, Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, John Mark, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Wait. Paul, you were fighting over this dude. This dude was a quitter. You were saying, I don't want that deserting person. But he was praising him. Let God settle the injustices and the wrongs with people. You're not their judge. So don't go around trashing them. Stay supportive. Thirdly, stay serving. Look at verse 39, Acts 15. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Verse 41. And Paul went through Syria and Sicilia, confirming the churches. So neither one of them said, fine, if he's going to act like that, I'm just going to stop going to church. Listen, there are jerks in the church. I know that better than anybody. But I'm not going to let a jerk in the church keep me from going to church. And neither should you. Yeah, but I signed up for that nursery, and that nursery worker, she's just gorilla the hun. That's fine. Keep serving. Yeah, but I was going to work in that Beulah Kids thing, and I just had a personality conflict, so I'm quitting. Really? Did you sign up so everybody would be nice to you, or did you sign up to help kids? If kids don't need any help anymore, then quit. But don't let some jerk keep you from helping kids, because then you're not hurting that person, you're hurting the kids. Thirdly, stay serving. Number four, say you're sorry. Say you're sorry. A lot of us are horrible at this. A lot of us refuse to apologize. 18 years after the event of Acts 15, Paul evidently had made things right with young John Mark. You saw what he said in Colossians. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Hey, Luke, when you come, or telling these people when they come, go by and get Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You say, well, I wasn't totally wrong. They were mostly wrong. If you were 1% wrong, apologize. It's not worth going through life. It's not worth going into eternity carrying bitterness and harboring hurt. Just take your one little percent that you were wrong and say, you know what? I didn't handle that situation correctly, and I want to ask you for forgiveness. Evidently, that's what Paul had done. They had to make peace. And listen, there's always got to be the person to take the first step. So you say, well, I'll apologize if he comes to me. What if he never comes to you? You be the my dad would say this to me, you be the bigger person and you go first. But Dad, I don't like that person. So? You go and you make things right and you be the bigger person and go first. Let me show you one last verse. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. Peter is talking, and listen to what he says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you. Notice this. And so doth Marcus, my son. Marcus, he's talking about John Mark. This is Peter. Evidently, there was something in John Mark's life where he said, that boy needs somebody to love on him and encourage him. Yeah, he's got his cousin Barnabas. But I just want to pull him close. I just want to encourage him. I just want to love on him. Hey, I want to adopt him as my adopted son. Listen. Some of you older folk, some of you middle-aged folk, and even some of you younger folk, you should find one hurting, needy person and love on them, encourage them, lift them up. Say, hey, you can make it. You can become something. You can do something for Jesus. John Mark did great things for God. Why? He had a Barnabas in his life. He had a Paul in his life, and although Paul challenged him, he made things right and challenged him more and brought him on. And he had a Peter in his life that encouraged him to follow Jesus. So I come to you. Who are you encouraging? Who are you pulling up? Who are you helping that has fallen down and quit? You didn't ignore him. You didn't just say, oh, that stinking quitter. I knew he wasn't the real deal. You can spit on him when he's down, or you can go help him up. And I'm saying there's too many of us Christians that do too much spitting and not enough helping people up. I've been circling the runway like four times trying to land, so I'm going to land this plane. One last thought. I might have two more, but right now, one last thought. Conflict. Conflict is bad. Conflict is awful. There's one conflict that's worse, and that's conflict with God. And some of you are fighting God. You know what God wants you to do, and you've crossed your arms and you said, I'm not going to do it. You know what God doesn't want you to do, and you've crossed your arms and say, God, I don't care what you say. I don't really give a rip. I'm going to do what I want to do. Conflict is bad. But listen to me. Conflict with God is awful, and you're not going to win. So I don't care if you have your little tie on, and I don't care if you've come in here for the very first time. You must not fight with God. Say, God, you're God, I'm not. So I'm going to brace you when I like it and when I don't like it. I'm going to brace what you say. I'm going to try to please you even when it's hard. Some of you, come on, listen to me. Stop fighting God. Some of you, stop fighting other people and go apologize. And thirdly, some of you need to find a John Mark that's quit and help them come back to Jesus.